Appendix relating to Risala al-Wasiyat, the will. Footnote. Published in the newspaper Al-Hakam, Volume 10, Number 2, dated January 17, 1906, as well as in the Review of Religions, January 1906. End of footnote. There are certain important points regarding the booklet The Will, which need to be publicized, and they are as follows. Number 1. The first point to be noted is that until the Anjuman Karpardas Masale Kabristan, footnote, the administrative body responsible for looking after the affairs pertaining to bequest and related matters, it is a part of Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya, the parent body of the Jamaat, end of footnote, announces that the graveyard is fully completed with respect to every necessary requirement, it shall not be permissible that the body of a person who has fully complied with all the conditions laid down in the will be brought for burial in the graveyard. The completion of the bridge and that of other necessary requirements must be given priority. Till then, the body is to be placed in a coffin and buried in some other graveyard in trust. Number 2. Anyone who undertakes to abide by the conditions laid down in the will, it shall be required of him or her to make a declaration in writing in the presence of two witnesses and entrust this document to the Anjuman while he or she is in full possession of his or her faculties. The testator should explicitly state that he or she bequeaths or endows 1/10 of all of his or her movable and immovable property for the propagation of the objectives of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat, and it shall be obligatory that the testator publishes this declaration in at least 2 newspapers. Number 3. It shall be binding on the Anjuman that after fully satisfying itself regarding the legal and shari, that is, pertaining to the Islamic Sharia, validity of the contents of the will, it issues a certificate to the testator, duly signed and sealed. And when, in accordance with the regulations stated above, a dead body is brought to the graveyard for burial, the certificate must be presented to the Anjuman, and in accordance with the directives of the Anjuman. After the Anjuman has surveyed where the deceased can be buried, the coffin shall be buried at the spot specified by the Anjuman for the burial. Number 4. Since all children who have not come of age go to heaven, they shall not be buried in this graveyard except when the Anjuman suggests that there are special circumstances owing to which such a burial could take place. Nor shall any relative of the deceased be buried in this graveyard unless he or she, on his or her own, complies with the conditions laid down in the will. Number 5. It shall not be permissible for the body of a person who has not died in Qadian to be brought to Qadian without a coffin. Also, it shall be necessary to inform the Anjuman 1 month in advance, so that if at the time the Anjuman is facing some obstacles regarding the graveyard, it should be able to overcome them before giving permission for the burial. Number 6. If, God forbid, a person who has complied with all the conditions laid down in the will die of plague, it shall be obligatory that his or her body is placed in a coffin and buried in trust at some other place for a period of 2 years. After 2 years, his or her body shall be brought to Qadian at a time when the place where the testator died, as well as Qadian, are free of the plague. Number 7. It should be kept in mind that for burial in this graveyard, it is not merely enough that 1/10 of one's movable and immovable property is bequeathed, but it is also necessary that the testator, to the best of his or her capacity, complies with the commandments of Islam and strives for matters pertaining to taqwa and purity, is a Muslim, believes in one God, and has true faith in his messenger. Moreover, he or she does not violate the rights of fellow men. Number 8. If a person bequeaths 1/10 of his or her assets and dies accidentally, for instance by drowning, or if he dies in another country from where it is difficult to bring his or her body, his or her will shall remain valid, and in the sight of God, he or she will be considered to have been buried in this graveyard. And it shall be permissible that in his or her memory, a headstone made of bricks or stone be erected with an inscription stating some facts about him or her. Number 9. The Anjuman controlling these funds shall not be authorized to spend them for purposes other than those pertaining to the objectives of Ahmadiyya Jamaat, and of these the objective of the propagation of Islam will take precedence over all others. And it shall be permissible for the Anjuman to augment these funds through trade and commerce with the members' consensus. Number 10. The Anjuman shall consist only of such members as belong to the Ahmadiyya Jamaat and are pious and upright. Should it be felt at any time that a member is not pious or is dishonest or is an intriguer, or that he has a streak of worldliness in him, then it shall be obligatory for the Anjuman to immediately cancel the membership of such a person and replace him with someone else. Number 11. If a dispute arises with respect to the bequeathed assets and funds, then any cost incurred in the process of settling the dispute shall be met by the funds of wasiyat. Number 12. If a person makes a will and then because of some weakness in his faith revokes his or her will, or renounces the Ahmadiyya Jamaat, then even if the Anjuman is lawfully in possession of his property, it shall not be permissible for the Anjuman to keep his or her property in its possession, but shall be bound to return it. This is because God is in no need of anyone's property or money, and in the sight of God, all such wealth is detestable and fit only to be rejected. Number 13. Because the Anjuman deputizes for the Khalifa who is appointed by God, it should be free from all traces of worldliness, and all its affairs should be straight and transparent and based on justice. Number 14. It shall be permissible for the support and help of this Anjuman to have its branches in far-off lands, which shall function under its directives, and such branches shall be subsidiary to it. If such subsidiary Anjumans are in countries from where it is difficult to bring the bodies of the deceased, it shall be permissible for the local Anjumans to bury them in their respective countries. And in order to have divine reward, such a person should bequeath 1/10 of his or her property before his or her death. The local Anjuman of a country shall be entitled to own the funds raised by bequests made in that country. It shall be preferable that such funds are spent for the religious needs of that country. However, it shall be permissible that in view of certain requirements, such funds are sent to the Anjuman, the headquarters of which are at Qadian. Footnote: The Promised Messiah has used the word headquarters and has explained it in Urdu. We have not translated the Urdu expression Markaz Mukami, which means local headquarters. End of footnote. Number 15. It is mandatory that the headquarters of this Anjuman always remain at Qadian, because God has blessed this place. For this purpose, it shall be permissible for the Anjuman to erect buildings in anticipation of future needs. Number 16. There should always be at least 2 such members of the Anjuman as are well versed in the knowledge of the Holy Quran and Hadith, and who have acquired the knowledge of Arabic and are also learned in Ahmadiyya literature. Number 17. If, God forbid, there is a person who makes a will in accordance with the booklet, The Will, and happens to suffer from leprosy, and his or her physical condition is such that it is not suitable for his or her dead body to be brought to this graveyard, then in view of the known precautionary measures, it shall not be proper for him or her to be brought to this graveyard. However, if such a person has been able to carry out his or her obligations under the will, then such a person shall have the same station as is reserved for one who is buried here, God willing. Number 18. If there is a person who has no property, movable or immovable, but it is established that he or she is virtuous, saintly, God-fearing, a genuine believer, and has no trace of hypocrisy and worldliness, nor is he or she found wanting in implicit obedience, then he or she too, by my permission, or after me with the consensus of the Anjuman, may be buried in this graveyard. Number 19. If a person is rejected by a special divine revelation, he or she shall not be buried in this graveyard, even though he or she offers to pay the bequeathed contribution. Number 20. God has made an exception in my case and the case of my wife and children. All other men and women must comply with these conditions, and whoever objects will be a hypocrite. These are the obligatory conditions which have been detailed above. In future, only that person who complies with these conditions shall be buried in this Maqbarai Bahishti. It is possible that there may be persons who are swayed by doubt and suspicion and make me a target of objections in this matter and regard this arrangement as based on selfish motives or judge it as a bid'at. But remember, these are the works of God Almighty, and He does what He wills. Indeed, He has willed that by this scheme He shall distinguish between a hypocrite and a believer. And I too feel that those who, having been informed of this divine scheme, become anxious, immediately and without hesitation, to subscribe 1/10 of their property in the way of Allah, nay, they even show greater fervor and set the seal on their faithfulness. Allah says, Alif Lam Mim, Ahasiban Nasu an Yutraku an Yakulu Amanna Wahum La Yuftanun? Footnote: I am Allah, the All-Knowing. Do men think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and that they will not be tried? The Holy Quran, Surah Al-Ankabut, Chapter 29, Verses 2 and 3. Do the people think that I, Allah, should be pleased only by their verbal claim that we have believed and that they should not be tried just yet? Whereas this trial is no trial. The companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were tried when they were required to sacrifice their lives. Accordingly, they laid down their lives in the path of God. Then how far away from the truth is the thought as to why everyone is not allowed to be buried in this graveyard? Were this the case, why then did God Almighty prescribe trials in each age? In every age, He has been pleased to distinguish the impure from the pure. He has, therefore, done the same now. In the days of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, God prescribed some minor trials too. For example, it was the practice that no one would seek any kind of advice from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without offering nazrana. Footnote: anything given as a gift to a holy person, especially the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. End of footnote. Thus, in this too was a trial for the hypocrites. I feel that in present day trials too, the faithful ones of the highest order, who have in fact given precedence to faith over worldliness, will stand distinguished from others, and it shall be proved that they have fulfilled their pledge of bayt and established their bona fides. No doubt this institution will be very hard on the hypocrites, for it will expose them, and after they die, be they men or women, they will certainly not be buried in this graveyard. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Footnote: in their hearts was a disease, and Allah has increased their disease to them. The Holy Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Chapter 2, Verse 11. End of footnote. But those who excel in this matter will be counted among the righteous, and forever and always shall they be the recipients of divine blessings. Finally, let it be remembered that the days of calamities are close at hand, and a severe earthquake that will turn the earth upside down is imminent. Hence, before divine chastisement strikes, those who prove that they are not of this world and have renounced it, and who further demonstrate how well they carried out my command, they alone are the true believers in the sight of God, and their names shall be listed in His book as of those who are the first and the foremost. And truly and sincerely do I say that the time is near when a hypocrite, who out of his love for this world has evaded this commandment, will at the time of chastisement let out an anguished cry and say, "Would that I had given all that I possessed, all my movable and immovable possessions, in the way of God, and escaped this chastisement." Remember, after witnessing this punishment, faith will be of no avail, and alms and charity will be in vain. Look, I warn you of an imminent divine chastisement, hasten to stock up on your spiritual provisions that will serve you. As for me, I have no intention of taking possession of your wealth. Rather, you shall give your wealth to the Anjuman for the propagation of the faith, and shall be rewarded with a life in heaven. There are many who, for their love of this world, shall evade my command, but shall soon be taken away from this world. Then at the last hour they shall exclaim, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Footnote: This is what the gracious God had promised, and the messengers spoke the truth. The Holy Quran, Surah Yasin, Chapter 36, Verse 53. End of footnote. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الْهُدَىٰ. Peace be on one who follows the guidance. The Humble One, the Author, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, the Promised Messiah from God Almighty, January 6th, 1906.